Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, we thank you this morning that you have joined us. Hallelujah. Even before we joined you, you are there. You are there waiting on us. What a great God you are. You are mighty God. You are an awesome King. And Father, your word says, let every plant that my Father has not planted be rooted up in Jesus' name. We lay the axe at the root of every evil tree in our lives. Let every ungodly generational taproot be cut and pulled out of our bloodline in the name of Jesus. Let the roots of wickedness be rottenness in the name of Jesus. We speak to every evil tree to be uprooted and cast into the sea. Let your holy fire burn in the name of Jesus up every ungodly root in the name of Jesus. Let the confidence in the name of Jesus of the enemy be rooted out. Let every root of bitterness be cut from our lives. Let the prophetic word be released to root out evil kingdoms. Let any evil person planted in our church be rooted out in the name of Jesus. Let any sickness be rooted out of our bodies in the name of Jesus. Let every false ministry that have rooted themselves in our cities be plucked up in the name of Jesus. Let every bramble and nettle be plucked up from our lives in the name of Jesus. Let all thorns be burned out of our lives in the name of Jesus. Let all spirits rooted in rejection come out in the name of Jesus. Let all spirits rooted in pride come out in the name of Jesus. Let all spirits rooted in fear come out in the name of Jesus. Let all spirits rooted in lust and sexual sins come out in the name of Jesus. Let all spirits rooted in curses come out in the name of Jesus. Let all spirits rooted in witchcraft come out in the name of Jesus. Let all spirits rooted in any part of our bodies and our organs come out in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So, Father, this morning we bless and honor you. We thank you that you are King. You are Lord. You are God. You are Shepherd. There's nobody great like you, Jehovah. Lord, we just come to repent before you this morning. Oh, God, forgive us in the name of Jesus for anything that we've done against your will. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus, forgive us for abominations in our land. Forgive us, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Oh, Father, oh, God, in the name of Jesus, forgive us for all those things that we do or think against you. Forgive us for rebellious, stubborn ways, oh, God. Forgive us, Lord God, when we come against you, the Most High God, our Creator, in the name of Jesus. We bless you this morning. We honor you as King. We honor you as Lord. We honor you as Shepherd. We honor you as the great and mighty I am. No God is holy like you. No God is great like you. No God is honorable like you. Oh, God, we refuse to be conformed to this world. We surrender to be transformed by you. We surrender. We need transformation from you, oh, God. And then, excuse me, in the mighty name of Jesus, transform us to look more like you. Oh, God, we thank you for your perfect will this morning. Father, we come on Bible Storyland, lifting up families as it is family day to day, Lord God. And we ask you to have your way in families, Lord God. Oh, restore families back unto you, Lord God. Restore husbands, restore wives, restore mothers, restore fathers, restore children, restore grandparents, restore uncles, aunts, and cousins back to you, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, let none of us slip off of your path. In Jesus' name, Father, we just honor and adore you. We bless you this morning. We thank you that you are Lord, you are God, you are King. And we know that nobody's greater, nobody's holier, nobody's mightier. You are Almighty Father. You are Alpha. You are Omega. And we bless your name this morning. Have your way on Bible Story Land in Jesus' name. I cover every person on here with the blood of Jesus. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. And we thank you, Lord God, in the name of Jesus for teaching us more of your ways. You are holy and you are righteous. And we desire to be holy. We desire to be righteous. We desire that we keep our eyes stay fixed on you So, Father, we thank you for granting our desires of our heart. We bless and honor you. Have your way. We surrender all to you in Jesus' name. Well, what a mighty God we serve. He is
what
great.
A mighty God we serve.
He is great and greatly to be praised.
Praised.
Of kings, God is our Father, and he is more precious than silver or gold. We are honoring the
Amen.
King. Our Father is almighty. We honor our Lord and Savior on Bible Story Land today on Family Day. We thank God for his mercy and for his grace. We thank God that he first loved us. We thank God that he first loved us. We thank God that he first loved us and that he is our friend. And he's the one that sticketh closer than a brother. He is our true friend. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. There is no God like our God. He loves us. His love is eternal. His love is everlasting. He has great love for us, his people. He sustains us in the battles that we face in everyday life. It is because of Jesus that we have victory, and there's victory in Jesus. Let's give our King great, outstanding, excellent praise this morning. As Karen Itell come forth to give a praise to the King this morning. Good morning, Karen. How are you?
I am doing good.
All right. What song are you going to pray this morning to honor the King of Kings?
What a mighty God we serve.
Amen, amen. We can't even put in words how great is our God. How great is our God. So, Karen, could you play that for us? How great is our God? You know that one, Karen? She may have stepped away for a minute.
Okay.
All right. Well, we thank God for how great is our God. He's a great God. Karen, are you there?
Yeah, I know that one.
Can you play that one, How Great is Our God?
Yes. Can you do it now or wait till later?
I'd like for you to do it right now. Thank you.
We'll do it.
God. Yes, mm-hmm. How great is God. Is a great God. Our God mm-hmm. is a holy God. Our God is a righteous God. Our God is the King of Kings. Our God is Lord. Our God is a mighty God. So we thank the Lord this morning that we serve the great and mighty I Am. Well, thank you so much, Karen. That was beautiful. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God. Well, as we continue to praise the Lord this morning, we have Pastor Donna Hawkins on with us from Paducah, Kentucky. Good morning.
Good morning.
Doing good. We got a bad connection, sort of.
All right. Is it better?
Yes, it's better.
Okay. In Louisville, Kentucky, passed away.
Oh, you're in Louisville, okay.
Yes, ma'am. It was yesterday in Vine Grove, Kentucky, and I have a meeting this morning at 10 o'clock. Deborah and I are here in Louisville.
Sorry, ma'am.
Okay. I'm sorry, will you say it again?
I'm sorry, someone was calling me, telling me they tried to get on the radio station. I was telling them to try it again, but go ahead, talk.
But we're just thankful to God. He's still good to us. My mom is still here. She didn't talk as much this week as usual, but she's still here, so we're still thankful.
Amen.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. So I'll do just a little bit of Jesus Keep Me Near the Cross. Is that okay?
All right.
All right. Jesus, keep me near the cross. There, a precious fountain is free to stream, it flows from Calvary's mind.
I reach home, shall find rest beyond the river. Hear the cross, oh trembling soul, love and mercy found me. There the bright and morning star sheds its beam around me. In the
Kentucky. That's right outside of Elizabethtown, real close to Fort Knox. So the visitation was Thursday. Deborah and I drove to Radcliffe on Thursday and spent the night for that visitation. And then we went to the funeral on yesterday, and there were people from everywhere there. And then yesterday we drove here to Louisville, spent the night, and I've got a 10 o'clock meeting this morning here in Louisville. Then we'll be going back home. One of the community choirs that I play the piano for has a concert at 5 o'clock in Paducah. Now, Louisville's 220 miles from Paducah, so we'll be driving back for that concert. And then tomorrow we'll have our regular morning service, and then our church has been invited to a worship with St. John Missionary Baptist Church in Bardwell, Kentucky, for their pastor's 34th anniversary. So I have two services to deliver tomorrow. So
Monday, if the Lord doesn't say Monday, I'll rest on Monday. Even God rested on the seventh day, huh?
All right. So keep us in prayer. Keep us in prayer. But when the Lord has an assignment, we have to do it.
Oh, yes. To whom much is given, much is required.
That's right.
Father, I just thank you for your daughter. I thank you for my sister, your daughter, Pastor Donna Hawkins. You know her, Lord God. You birthed her through her mother's belly. And, Lord, we lift up her mother before you, Mother Mother Newsom, Lord, who's been on a bed of affliction for some time. But you've been right there by her side. You've been faithful to Mother Newsom, Lord God. And we thank you, Lord, even as Pastor Donna Hawkins is in another city, you are there, too. There's no place that you are not. And so, Father, touch her body. And, Lord, you know all that she has to do. Refresh, renew her strength, oh, God. And we are counting on you, Lord God. And we are thanking you ahead of time in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen, amen. Well, you know what I want to tell you? The Lord spoke this to me maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago. He says it's the break in communication. He says, there's been a break in communication. I said, well, Lord, what do you mean a break in communication? And then, you know, as I started to consult the Father, it came to me that the first break in communication began in the Garden of Eden. when Adam and Eve decided to disobey God. That was the first break in communication. God warned them of the consequences of disobedience to him. But the serpent deceived Eve and then Adam. It was that day they died spiritually. They were separated from God, their creator. That's the first break in communication. The same is true for us today. You know, when the serpent presents temptation for us to disobey God and we take the bait and we fall into the trap, that's our break in communication from God. We were born in his image. There are consequences when we stop communicating with God. When God went to look for Adam and Eve, he said, "Where are you? Where are you?" And they would say, "We naked." He said, "What do you mean? How do you know you're naked?" He knew already that they had sinned. When we sin, it makes us naked. It shows up. You know when you sin, you just feel like, oh, my God, you got to hide from God. You don't talk to him as much. You don't spend time in his presence as much. And things begin to change in your life. You say, "Lord, where are you?" Yes, it's not where he is. It's where are you? Where are you? So we got to keep communicating with God. You know, in today's society, things take us away from God. Many things. Communication is a two-way process. It's imparting thoughts of information by speech, a message given to somebody. Another break in communication came when Cain, Adam and Eve's son, he became angry, violently angry with his brother. His brother didn't do anything, but he did something. What did he do? He did not offer God what he should have offered God. He said, "You can give me an acceptable offering, Cain." But Cain was angry. You know when that sin came in, when his father and mother sinned, it came down to him. That generational curse passed down to the children, and we don't know how to cut them off. So Cain, God warned him, but he did not take the warning. He was so angry. He cut off his communication. Before Cain became angry with his brother Abel, God had a conversation with him. He told him, he said, "Cain, if you do the right thing, it will be acceptable to me." But his attitude was not right with God, nor was his attitude right with his brother. His attitude was wrong. Cain knew he could not, you know, he knew that you know, he was so angry, but he would not listen to God. He rebelled against God so much so, he cut off his relationship with God, and he cut off his relationship with his brother by murdering his brother. He murdered his brother. He killed his brother because he was angry, jealous. That jealous spirit came in. And so how many times do we go before God angry? Many times we get angry with God about something he didn't do or something he did we didn't like. And we take it out on our family members. We take it out on people close to us. How many times does that happen to us? We take it out on, you know, people that we consider our friends. We take it out on our coworkers. We take it out on our brothers and sisters in the Lord, in the church. We angry with God, but we take it out on other people. We may not physically kill them, but we kill them with negative words that we speak. Those negative words. You know, we say, who she thinks she is, who he thinks he is, We kill people. We literally kill them with our speech. We cut off communication. Many things can break communication in families. Before families acquired so many things, you know, in the beginning, we didn't have a lot of things. I grew up very poor here in Jacksonville. We didn't even have a TV, let alone a telephone. We couldn't even afford a telephone. Sometimes our water would get turned up. And do you know that we had outside toilet? I'm telling you, we were poor. When I said we were poor, we were poor. Thank God he supplied all of our needs through his riches and glory. Now, he made sure we had food. My mother had a garden in the back. We planted string beans and collard greens and corn and beans, all kinds of stuff. And we lived near the vegetable market right there on Beaver Street. So, you know what? And we didn't have very much, but I tell you what, my mother, she sent me to church, and many times she showed up to church. Now, we went to church, but I wasn't even saved. Went to church, sitting on the bench, didn't even have a relationship with God, didn't even know it. We just thought we were supposed to go to church. That's what black people did. We went to church. And you know what? They sang them old religious tunes, How I Got Over. You know, they sang them, but they didn't necessarily have a relationship with God. Now, some people did. People went to my house, knocked on my door, my neighbors, and say, can your daughter go to church with us? So God sent somebody. He said, oh, I know Caritha not saved. Her family ain't saved, but I'm going to make a way so she can be saved. So God made a way. And, you know, let's get him back to the story where we were poor. TV? Oh, no, we didn't have that. Do you know nowadays people have TVs in every room? Some people have a TV in the bathroom. Can you imagine a TV in the bathroom? I mean, all of these distractions. They have computers, more than one. The other day I was talking to somebody about my computer, and they said, well, how many computers do you have? I only have one. I don't need but one. Some people have computers, more than one in their house. They got a business computer. They have a, you know, private personal computer, a PC. You know, I got a PC. You know, one of the little compact computers you carry around with you. That's all I have. People got iPods, Facebook accounts, technology. My God. We're allowing the devil to divide us in our families. In many homes, little meaningful communication is taking place. The father in one room on a computer, mother in another room on a computer, or the cell phone, talking to their friends, the sons on the tablets, the daughters on the tablet or on the iPod, or, you know, they're on tablets, different things. All these things that break communication with God. When do we bend the knee? When do we have time? We say, Lord, I'm going to pray before I go to work. You get up. You get a bath. You go and, you know, you talk to your family. One eating breakfast over here. Sometimes they don't even eat breakfast. They go to school and eat breakfast. They grab McDonald's on the way. You know, I mean, we are rushing here, rushing there, rushing all over. You know, the song says, did you stop to pray this morning? Did you spend just one moment to pray? You know, we've forgotten that. We have broke communication with God, and we give him all these excuses. You know, like they did, they say, Lord, well, you know, I married a woman. I got to spend time. But, Lord, I just got a new baby. I got to spend time. Lord, you know, Lord, my TV program coming on. As the world turns, they forgot about God turns the world. Break in communication. Family unity is missing. All these technological devices are distracting us from communicating meaningfully with each other. People walking down the street texting, driving, texting, talking on their cell phones. Trust me, they ain't talking to God. Not on the cell phone. They talking to somebody in Europe, somebody in California, somebody in Wichita, Kansas, somebody in, you know, somewhere else, Jacksonville, Tennessee. They're talking to people all over. They're not talking to God no more. You know, we say, oh, Lord, wait a minute, Lord. I got this text coming in. I'm going to come back to you. When are we talking to Father God? In other words, no real conversation is going on between family members. People and families are connecting, but not with each other. They're not even connecting with each other. There's a break in communication with each other. Even the exchange of important information is gone. Children have things at school, and they don't remember to tell their parents. Why you ain't tell me? I tried to tell you, Mama, but you said just a minute you were on the phone. I tried to tell you, Daddy, but you was doing an important text, you know, important thing on the computer, filling out the forms. So I don't have time. I don't know when to talk to you. We don't sit down and eat breakfast no more with our family. So when are we going to talk? We don't sit down and eat dinner no more. When are we going to talk? And we're away from home at lunchtime. So when are we going to talk? Misjudgments occur, misunderstandings occur when we don't take time to talk. Family time need to come back. I'm going to say it over and over. Family time need to come back. Family time, we used to sit down and eat dinner, breakfast with each other. My mama used to make biscuits. My daddy helping her cook in the kitchen. We need family time. You know, children, my mama said, here, you go set the table. We sit down to the table. She tell me, here, put the plate over here, put the fork here, put the knife, the spoon here. They taught us as we went along, fixing meals together, doing things together. When do families get together? You know, sometimes you eating dinner in one room, another child eating in this room, the mama one room, dad another room, everybody in a different room eating. And it's not necessarily home-cooked meals. We've forgotten what it's like. You know, children nowadays rather have McDonald's than a home-cooked meal because that's what they were brought up on. One time the Lord told me, he said, I want you to get a girls group together. He gave me the name of the group, Holy Ghost Girls. He said, because they're McDonald's children. They don't know how to cook. They don't even know how to thread a needle. He said, I want you to teach them how to cook and how to sew. So, you know, we've gotten off track. We got to begin to set time aside one day to get together, to sit, to eat together, talk about what's important. Talk to your children. Do you ever know that your children may bring gun to school? Do you know your child could be bringing gun to school? Your child could be bringing things home that you don't know about in their brief. When the last time you checked the brief, the book sack of your child? Backpack. Children get on me nowadays. They say, you don't say it right, Sister G. You don't say the right name. I forgot if it's backpack or book sack, whatever they say nowadays. But anyway, we got to take time to listen to our children. Lots is going on in the school. They see much in the bathroom. But when you go tell, when they going to tell you, when they got to talk to you, what time you got? It's time to sit back. Sit back down. Eat meals together. Come together. Share the Bible. You can get together and say, look here, at 10 o'clock Saturday morning, we're going to get together. Get your Bible. Oh, wait a minute. Mama, you ain't buy me no Bible yet. Daddy, you ain't buy me no Bible yet. You got to buy Bibles for your children. What's up? That's the most important book you should have in your house. Not one Bible, every Bible, especially from first grade. You know what? Let me tell you something. Even the little ones that I work with, I've been working with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5-year-olds. I put a Bible in the hand of 1-year-old. They can hold it. A 3-month-old can hold a Bible. They can hold a bottle. They can hold a Bible. So you put that Bible in their little bitty hands and you say, the B-I-B-L-E, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the word of God. The B-I-B-L-E, the Bible, the Bible. I love the Bible. And trust me, when they get old enough, they're going to sing those songs.
Amen.
When the last time you shared your scripture, your favorite scripture with your children, with your wife? You know, we got to be affectionate with each other. We've forgotten to touch each other. I don't care how old your children are. You know our teenagers, they go like, Mama, I'm too big now. No, hug them anyway. Touch them. The touch is powerful. The woman with an issue of blood touched the hem of Jesus' garment. Touching is good for the overall well-being of a person. We got to touch. Babies need touching. Research has shown that babies that were touched are much calmer. They cry less. They sleep better. They're healthier. Touching helps mothers, too. Touching is very important to the life of a human being. And smile. Oh, my God. Smile. It ain't gonna hurt you. Smile. Smiles are important, too. Smile at your children. Hug your children. Pat your children. You know, sometimes our parents used to hold us and pat us, not just as babies. They pat us when we were older. My mother pat me when I was 12 years old. Pat your children. Pat them on the head sometimes. Pat them on the back. Say, baby, you're doing a good job. I'm so proud of you. Put smiles on your faces. They'll start to smile, too. They won't go to school looking so mean and looking like they're angry with the world. And teenagers need affection. They may shun it, but you hug them anyway. Keep communicating with God through prayer, through studying his word, through listening to his voice, through obeying him. Keep communicating with each other. All these things go back to the first and the second commandment. You know the first commandment, love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, and strength. And what's the other one? Love each other like you love yourself. We got to get back to communication. We've broken communication with God and with each other. We got to put these things aside, the cell phone, iPod, all the technology, TV in every room. You know, what about sharing? Children don't like to share no more. We used to sit in one room. As I got older, we had a TV. Sit in one room. Today is your day. What you want to look at on TV? Tomorrow is your day. What you want to look? We share. Or maybe the next hour you can look at your program. But time was limited with TV. You ain't going to look at TV all day long. You're not going to even have it on all day long. No, you got work to do. There's much work to do. Even as adults, as children of God, we got much work to do. Well, we are moving right along on Bible Storyland. I'm looking for Jackie Travis. I don't see her on here yet. Don't think she came on yet. But anyway, I thank God we got Miss Ludell on here from Applin, Georgia. Good morning, Miss Ludell.
Good morning, Joel. How y'all doing this morning?
We're doing great. How are you?
I heard that. I heard that. I'm doing fine.
Yay. Well, you're going to sing for us this morning.
Yes, ma'am. Amazing Grace, how sweet it sounds.
All right.
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now Amen. That's it. Amazing grace. How sweet is that?
Amen.
Amen. Well, we thank
I
God
hope
for
y'all
this.
Heard yeah. me. My voice is sort of down like I got a cold.
No, ma'am, you sounded great. Oh, when I'm 95, I sound as good as you sound. You sound great for 95.
Thank you, darling. Thank you.
You sounded wonderful. When I get 95, I pray I can sound half as good as you sound. You sound great.
Well, thank you. It was all because of God.
Amen.
Well, I know Miss Liddell has experienced amazing grace much of her life. She's been here 95 years on the earth, and God's
Amen.
Grace amazing in her life. Well, today we have a speaker from Jacksonville, Florida. She's a mighty woman of God. She's a minister. She loves her family and the family of God. She has a great love for children. She retired from her own school, the Genius Factory. Her name is Minister Johnny Starlings. Good morning, Minister Starlings. How are you?
Good morning, good morning. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we are rejoicing in it. Amen.
Amen. We're so happy to have you on again with us today. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Well, let God have his way. We're listening.
Well, I was so happy that you started off with communication in the family, because we know that, excuse me, as you said, it is a real breakdown in communication. Everybody talking, but they're not talking to whom God would want them to talk most of the time. So I'm going to start off, as I always start off, acknowledging God as the creator of the heaven and earth, and then I will go on into my topic, which is about the family and God's original concept of family. Love is the creative force out of which God created the universe and all that is within. It is that creative force out of which he created, then evolved creation and set it on a course toward perfection. It is out of love that he gives everything that he created the freedom to be what it is, not what someone decide they want to be. And being what it is justifies its existence, and therefore it is equal to everything else in creation. You can't have love and not have life. Life and love is the same thing, and you cannot have life and not have freedom, justice, equality, and human rights that evolve you toward perfection. And what that is saying, that the earth and the creation was God's idea. It wasn't ours. But somewhere we lost communication and decided that we knew more about how this thing works than God. So taking some words from Genesis in the prerequisite of the scriptures, it says nature. Genesis is the book of origin. It gives the account of all creation. Tell of the establishment of the family. God created family for the earth. He created the earth, and then he created family. Praise the Lord. The origin of sin, the giving of divine revelation, the development of race, and the inauguration of God's plan of redemption through the chosen people. It presents, eternal truth, resolve stigmas, mysteries, and puzzling situations in the light of God's will. Genesis takes the reader to the moment when the omnipotent creator spoke into being the matchless wonders of the sun, the moon, the stars, the planets, the galaxies, and everything that moved in the earth. So it tells us everything that happened through the first 50 chapters that inspired, the writers was inspired to let us know the things that God had planned and what he had done. He made everything before he made man. Then man does everything, does what it's supposed to do. And now we, man, who really can communicate with God, has decided that he wants to do it another way. So this morning on family, I chose to say, I was led by the Holy Spirit, God spoke words to describe his creation. And we know that he knows the difference between male and female. He knows the difference between children and adults. He knows the difference between mother and father. He knows the difference between humans and animals, good and evil, sick and well, moon and stars, because he made them. Amen? He made everything in this earth first.
Right.
He told Adam to name the animals, but Adam could only name the names that God had put in him, just as you were speaking about the computer. That computer cannot tell you anything that's not been programmed in it. And it can tell you some of everything, but if it's something missing, it can't tell you. And that's the same way when God put his words into man, he put his words. Even though he allowed us to speak them, he's the one that he's the author and the finisher of his plan. Words are from God's creation. The words can build or destroy. They can comfort or confuse. With your mouth and with your words, you can confuse nations and rip and tear creation for a short time, because God is not going to lose his creation because of our misinformation and the fact that we decided to change his words. God made man first, and then he put him to sleep and made Eve. He made woman from the man's side to be equal. And the time that we are in now is just confusion, because now instead of walking together, God designated what a man should do. He should be the provider for the family, the protector for the family, the head of the family. The wife is equal to the man in what she does, what he calls her to do. The man buys a house. The woman makes it a home. The man provides food. The mother makes it a meal. And he knows all of these things. But now we have decided to change the name of family, change the name of man, change the name of woman, change the name of children. This is family that we are changing. I was talking to a friend, and she said, every man is not a father. I say, that's not true. She said, yes, it is, because if he don't do this, this, this. God didn't say that. He named him father. We decided to call him baby daddy, no good, useless, all of these silly words that we had decided to call a man instead of father. And when I said to her, when you look at the birth certificate, it says father. It does not say daddy, baby. It does not say all of these words, no good, trifling. It doesn't say that. It says father. Same thing with mother. And that just has gotten so belligerent and unbelief that women and mothers accept these words when they hear them about somebody else. Mothers were supposed to be the main one to say, no, we're not going to say that. We're not going to call mothers of children whores and tramps and bitches and babies' mamas. It's so common now, it's accepted that our young women call each other that and think that they are words of endearment. God never called mothers anything but mothers. Jesus' mother, Samuel's mother, all of the mothers in the Bible, they was called mothers, regardless of what their situation might have been. And these women birthed nations, so they were not called all of these derogatory names, and the men was upheld. If you call a dog a cat long enough, you'll start treating him like a cat, and he'll start acting like one because that's what you said. So in talking about communication, we have missed this boat so much now that we are turning away from God's words and giving our own words. For children, we are calling them kids. You say, well, that's innocent, but God called them children because you get a little innocent word, then it leads on to something else. Stupid. Dumb, don't know, silly. People call their children those names. That's not what God called them. He called them children. We are getting away from what God said in the beginning when he created heaven and earth. He knew the difference between a man and a woman. He named them man and woman. He knew the difference. He knows the difference now. He gave words like grandmother. That means that mother is the mother. That's the one that's supposed to lay before God. And he directs her in how to take care of her child. The grandmother is there to pass on wisdom to the daughter and the child. Same thing on the daddy's side. That was family coming together, sharing what thus says the Lord, and telling and making sure that everybody understood their role in his creation. This is his creation. So I was studying with a friend, and the people that came to the promised land during Joshua's time, they went to him, and they said, listen, we don't want to fight no more. We want to stay where we are, and by the edge of the Jordan River. And Joshua say, well, I will consult the Lord and see what he says. The Lord told Joshua, tell them that is fine. They don't have to go any further. All I request of them is to build an altar so that when their grandchildren come through, they could tell their children and grandchildren what he had done for them. And that is what he is looking for today. He's looking for parents to sit with their children, tell them who he is, and tell the children who they are, who God say they are, and what they expect from them and their purpose. Some people, parents, don't know their child's purpose because they are not seeking God. They, too, are looking around at other people's lives and admiring other people's lives and want their children to be like other people's children instead of seeking God for their family. God, what have you called my family to do? What is it we supposed to do to make an impact in this world? Because every family that is born of God has a purpose, and they are supposed to make an impact in this world. Every family, not some, not the 1% or 2%, 50%, 80%, but 100% of families is to make an impact in this world. So I was talking to my granddaughter one day, and she said, we were talking about children, because there was a time that, you know, women had lots of babies. Families had lots of babies. And now they decide how many they want or don't have. And so I was saying to her, Michael Jordan was the fifth child in his family. I say, now just think of what is happening to his mom. She would never want for nothing in this world. There's nothing for her to want physically because he's able to provide that. And so when she had a little chuckle, she said, suppose the mom had stopped at number four. Exactly. That's the point, because the Holy Spirit said to me, children are health, wealth, and prosperity. We're trying to look outside the family and go support somebody else's family so that they will have all the things that our children can never have because we're so busy supporting other people's families. Now, I'm going to pray that nobody will take this the wrong way, because I love people, I love God. But even in the churches, that sometimes the pastors will tell the congregation, well, if you pay your tithes and believe God for your light bill. Well, I'm not in agreement with that. If your light bill need to be paid, you need to go pay your light bill, because your church is surviving. The pastor has all that he can have, and we rejoice in that. I'm not criticizing that, but I am criticizing when you are home and out begging from family members to help pay your light bill, when you had your light bill, God had provided, and you listen to somebody else tell you to give them your money, and then you in the dark. There's something wrong with that picture. You're not sitting and communicating with your family. God didn't want us to lift up all of these people and give all of this to them. He wanted your family to have too. He wanted your family to have a purpose in this life. And he, if you can believe God for cancer, well, I believe God will heal me of cancer, but you can't believe him to raise a child that he has sent through the earth that he knew was coming and preparing the family. In my own family, in my very own family, each one of my grandchildren that came in this earth, my God showed them to me before they came. He showed them. One sat on the couch next to me and told me. I said I was asleep, and this little girl came and sat next to me. My daughter was pregnant at times. We knew she was having a little girl, and we knew her name was going to be Christina. And I'm on the couch sleep, and this little girl came and sat next to me. And I say, well, who are you? You're a pretty little girl. Who are you? She said, I am Christina. And I jumped up, grabbed the phone. I called my daughter. I said, look, guess who came to see me? Guess who came to see me? She said, who? I said, Christina. And I described her. I said, she looks just like her daddy. Now, her mother and daddy did not look alike. She had one daughter look like her. Now she got another daughter look just like her daddy. I told her what she was going to look like. God showed them to me before they were even born, and some of them before they was even conceived. I have another granddaughter, and I'm saying, is it you? Because God has showed me two babies. And is it you? She said, no. Well, she hadn't even conceived at the time. But that little boy came. He's in the earth. So God sends these babies in these families. And how dare we decide, well, you know, I don't want this one, or I don't want that one, or this not the right time, or he made me mad. There are women who are aborting their babies because they got angry with the man. And women know that whether the man is there or not, God is going to bless them to raise that child. We do it all the time. Now, that's not how it's supposed to be. But it is what it is. And it goes right back to what Sister Gatlin was saying, the lack of communication. Now we've taken what was family and put it in the mother's hand and say, listen, I don't care what he say, the baby is yours. You got a right to choose to kill your baby. He's just a daddy, so that don't make no difference. He don't have no say-so, no nothing, if that's what you want to do. And the law will protect you. Now, you, everybody listen to this, know that was not God's original plan. And we've got to get back to where we were, is not getting back to God, as she said, understanding what God is saying, not what people is saying, and not the understanding then telling a young man, well, you just a baby daddy. No, he's not. He's an untaught, unlearned father. He's a father with no information that caused him to do and be all the things he would be. We have mothers, the same thing, untaught, unlearned, got up in situations. We don't know some of them reason for being what they are, what they do. But that still doesn't make God say they're mothers still, regardless of what we want to call them, because we're always naming somebody else, but we don't name ourselves, and some of us doing the same thing. We are mothers who have ran into some terrible experiences or some circumstances that we didn't know how to handle. I was young once, and I know there was things I didn't know, and I got myself in trouble. I got myself in embarrassing things, some things I wouldn't even want my grandchildren, my children to know that I did. And then, because I can look back now and see, without God in my life, and I didn't have him like I do now, because another thing, we know that wisdom come along with this age. And so that didn't make me not a mother. It gave me an opportunity to get it right so I could be on this radio station today sharing with the world that you are a mother. You are a father. You're not a daddy baby. I don't care what you did. I don't care when you left it, how you left it. There are plenty of children that when they grew up, they went looking for their daddies, their fathers, and they found them. Some of them, it turned out beautiful. Some of it turned out wonderful. Some of it didn't. That still didn't stop that father from being a father. And they knew that was the father because they looked like him. God fixed it so you would look like both your mother and father. So there would be no doubt about where you came from, what body, what bodies, because you didn't come from one body. You came from the father body to the mother body. And that's that one flesh that God wants us to have. So, Father God, in the name of Jesus, I thank you this morning for an opportunity again to share families and those who are listening, that they will hear with their heart, that they will want to share the word of God and call us what you call us, mothers and fathers and sisters and brothers and grandfathers and grandmothers and great-grands. I am a great-grandmother. I'm not a great-grand-baby mama. I am a great-grandmother. Praise the Lord. And their great-grandfather is a great-grandfather. We are who God say we are. We are not all of those belligerent names. So in this precious name of Jesus, and you call you Father, the word of God say, our Father who art in heaven. We talked about Mary being the mother of Jesus, and her name would be known throughout the history of the world. Some people say when they took prayer out of school that it caused a mass confusion. When the church took Mary out of the church, there had been mass confusion. Disrespect, no respect, no one saying, hey, wait a minute, we're going to stop this. We're not calling our mothers, mamas, and baby mamas and all. She is to be respected. This mother has laid down her life carrying a baby for 9 months, laid down her life, her body opens up. No, a body that's no bigger than her mouth, it opens up and this baby comes into the world. And yet we want to disrespect her, call her low-down dirty names, and she is the mother of your children. Let's stop this. Your mother could not get pregnant without your father. A lot of his situations, because he didn't have the understanding, he didn't have the knowledge, he didn't have the teachers. In closing, as Sister Gatlin said, the communication has ceased, and not only has it ceased, it's turning around and giving them the names that is insulting, embarrassing, and humiliating to God and the human race. So, Father, we thank you for sending grace and mercy that we can get it together and get it once again right in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Father. Praise you. Give you honor and give you glory. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. What a powerful word. God's word.
Amen. Amen.
His family.
Amen.
God's word describes his family. We don't have the words to describe God's family. He has.
Amen.
Amen. So I thank God for his original concept of the family. We messed up that.
Amen.
We have messed up the concept of God's family.
Amen.
Anytime human beings put their hands on, we mess up. But when
amen.
We do God said,
amen. Amen.
Way.
Amen.
When we do it God's way, it's acceptable
amen.
To God.
Amen.
We have to do things
and
that
amen.
Are acceptable to the Holy Father.
Amen.
I thank God for Minister John and Starling for that great word
amen.
About the family. And God's original intent. You know, God had intent for the family. He didn't just birth us here to
amen.
Go to work.
Amen.
Go to sleep,
amen.
Go to stop eating. No.
Amen.
He put a on the inside of every family member.
Amen.
On the inside of every family member.
And every family member.
That purpose before we leave this earth.
Amen.
God's purpose. He put a purpose in the father, put a purpose in the mother. Purpose in the children, the grandparents,
amen.
Aunts, every one of us. She said,
amen.
Children are the health, the wealth, and the prosperity in the family.
Amen. 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 I thank God. I thank God. I thank God because this has been in my heart for years. I was born with it in my heart. You know, we have the connection that God called. I'm not going to start all over again, but the connection that God have from family member to family member to family member to family member on down years and years and years is called blood. That connects you to your family. He didn't mean for you to take your gifts over here to Brother Jones' house with his family so he can have more. He meant for you to call your family together, find out the gifts that God has given them and the purpose and use it for his glory. Amen. And I really am. I get excited when I talk about it. I get just hyped. I just get hyped when I think about how good God is and how he designed family and how we have abused it. But Jesus is Jesus, and we can turn this thing around, and I yield.
Amen. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. We appreciate
amen.
It. We need to get excited about God's word and his original
amen.
Intent for the family because the family
amen.
Has gotten so much out of order. We got to get back to God's order. We don't have no order without God.
Amen.
We got to get back to his original intent for his order. You know, families make an impact in this world.
Amen. That's what it was designed for. Amen.
Make an impact in this world. So if
amen.
You're not making impact, it's time for you to get back with God, communicating
amen.
With God. Say, Lord,
amen.
What is it you want me to do in this world? Lord,
amen.
What did you have for me? Lord, why was I born? Lord, why
amen.
There you go. Here? Lord,
speak
why
it.
Was I birthed in Jacksonville? Why was I birthed in Houston? Why was I birthed in Cincinnati, Ohio? Lord, it's meaningful where you were born. When you were born, Lord, why was I born in 1922? Lord, why
amen.
Was I born in 2016? It is
amen.
It is meaningful when you were born, the year you were born, and why you were born. But you know,
amen.
We have to consult the Lord. You have to consult the Lord. Well, thank God for the message today. Thank God for the songs
amen.
Today. Thank God
amen.
For the prayer. We have Bishop David Bryan on with us this morning.
Amen.
Lives in D-Land, Florida. Good morning, Bishop. How are you? Bishop David Bryan. Good morning. How are you? All right. Maybe we have a bad connection because I can't hear you, Bishop. I hear something clicking, but I can't hear you. He's on there. You got your phone on mute, Bishop? Well, Father God, I thank you for Bishop David Bryant, your servant. And, Lord, you know he's been on his bed of affliction. But, Lord, we say, oh, we reach out to touch the hem of your almighty garment for Bishop's healing. We thank you that he's taking up his bed and walking, and that you are blessing his bread, his water, and taking sickness away from the midst of him. And, Lord, we thank you for strengthening his immune system. We thank you, Lord God, that your joy is his strength and that he's strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. So, Father, we bless you for David, Bishop Bryan. You there, Bishop David?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, how are you?
I'm blessed. How are you this morning?
I'm doing great. Thanking the Father.
You. I enjoyed that powerful message. I really enjoyed that powerful message.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
It was very powerful.
Thank you.
God bless you.
Thank you so much. There was a burning in my soul, and that's why I started my school, so I could teach the children about who they are. You don't let nobody call you stupid. If you're somebody in your family, you say, oh, no, I'm not. I am bright, brilliant, and intellectually stimulated. At 4 years old, I started them saying that. Amen.
All right, Bishop, what's happening in D-Land, Florida?
Well, I'm home. Thank God. I, the Lord blessed me to come home.
Amen.
And we're getting stronger, and we just need your prayers that we can get back to service and working for the Lord and working around the church and working with the different families and the young men. God has blessed me to teach young men how to be good men. And so we're doing that, and we're asking that you pray for me. That
Amen.
The healing virtue continues to flow, that I'm able to teach. Amen. And we're loving you, Sister G, every day of the week. We thank God for you and your prayer.
Amen. Thank God for you, Bishop. How was the prayer line last night? I know it was awesome.
It was a blessing. It was a blessing. You continue praying for us and the prayer line.
We will. Well, we have a powerful, mighty man on with us this morning. He's from Houston, really from New Orleans. I saw him on here when we first began. His name is Minister Norvell Brown. So I'll put you on live, Minister Norvell. I have a request if you could pray for Bishop David Bryan in D-Land. We appreciate you.
Can you hear me?
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
I'm doing great. How are you and your precious wife and children?
Oh, all is well. God is still on the throne. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Right.
Well, could you say a prayer for Bishop David Bryan for us?
Praise God. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank and praise you and magnify your name. God, we give you glory and honor and all the praise because you alone are God and you're God alone. God, you can do anything but fail. Lord, we thank you for all the word that's coming forth today, Lord Jesus, all the wonderful song, the mighty word of God, that's what's ministered through the airways. God, we ask right now that you look down upon Bishop David Bryant right now, like that. God, bless and anoint him right now. Send forth your anointing upon him. Heal and deliver, Lord God, from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet, God. Bless the works of his hand and the fruit of his labor, O God. Lord, you know the things that we have need of. We ask that you look down on the bishop this morning, God. Blessed anoint him today. God, let your perfect will be done in his life. Give him a word for the people, Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, God. Lord, we ask right now that you will send down blessings upon him right now, Lord God. And not only him, but everybody that's on the sound of my voice, O God. Bless us today, Lord God. We need you today. God, we can't do a thing without you. Lord, we know that heaven and earth shall pass away, but your word shall not pass away, God. Lord, let your will be done today, Lord God. We love you and we praise you. We magnify your name, God. Oh, God, we give you glory and honor, Lord God. Bless our homes and make it homes of peace and prayer and prosperity, Lord God. And, Lord, with sin abound, let grace much more abound in the name of Jesus. God, send forth your anointing power today, Lord God, not only on the bishop, Lord God, but on all of us as well, Lord. Lord, let your will be done today. And, Lord, we will promise to forever give you praise and honor and glory. Bless us today, God. Bless our homes. Bless our families. Bless all that we put our hands to. In the name of Jesus, and we'll forever give you the praise. These and other blessings we ask in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Amen. Thank you, Minister Norvell Brown, thank God for he and his precious wife. Well, you know what? Everybody has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We all need salvation. And because through Christ Jesus, yes, Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit which gives us life set us free from the law of sin and death. Jesus came to save us with our mouth. We can confess that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised Jesus from the dead and we will be saved. Is there anyone on the line today that's not saved? Press 1 or state that you're not saved. We have ministers on here to walk you through salvation. The Word of God in Romans 10, 9 and 10 says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The word of God is awesome and true. So, looks like everybody's saved. Anybody backslidden? And we cancel the spirit of backsliding, and we run into the presence of the Lord. Because his grace and mercy can save us, we hunger and thirst for his righteousness. Everybody backslid today.
Amen.
All right. It is prayer time today. Prayer time on Bible Storyland. So we're going to be praying. We have ministers on here that's going to be praying for other people.
Okay.
Anybody who need prayer. So if you have not already pressed 1, please press 1 and state your prayer request. Hello?
I have a prayer request.
Okay, Karen?
The prayer request is my little niece started Mother's Day out this week. And well, as it stands right now, the only person in the family that's religious is me. So I'm hoping by the end of this year I will tell you a different story.
Okay, I'm sorry. You said pray for your niece concerning what?
She just had Mother's Day out.
Sorry, Karen, back up from the phone a little bit. I know you said your niece, but I couldn't understand the other part. I'm sorry.
Okay, this is probably better. I'll put it on handset. I'm praying for my niece. She just started Mother's Day out. And she, I'm hoping by the end of this year she will know the Lord.
Okay. Okay, so we'll pray for her salvation for your niece. Thank you, Karen. All right, anybody else? Prayer request.
This is Lee.
Sudell, I should pray for my sister-in-law who's been in the hospital about two months, praying that she will God will bless her, that she'll be able to go home soon.
Okay. Anybody else? Prayer request. All right, prayer request. Press 1 if you haven't pressed 1. I want to know that you're requesting prayer if you haven't pressed 1.
Hallelujah.
Karen. Karen, are you singing?
No, that's me.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Me. While
all right,
we were waiting.
I'm waiting for people to
sing. A song just came in my heart while we were waiting.
Okay, I'm still waiting for people to make prayer requests. Thanks.
Thank God for saving me.
All right. We're going to be praying for Pastor Donna Hawkins. I'll begin the prayer with Pastor Donna Hawkins, for her family, her church family, and they're in Louisville, Kentucky for safe travel. So, Starling, could you pray for Jackie Travis? She has a ministry with senior citizens where she cares for the elderly. She is a caretaker. Pray for her husband and her daughter.
Well, praise the Lord.
Two daughters. And Minister Brown, Norvell Brown, you still there?
Hey.
Yes, I am.
Okay. Could you pray for Mother Irma? She is in the hospital, and she needs healing in her body. So I'm going to start first in Minister Starling, then Minister Brown, and we'll come back. Heavenly Father, we adore and bless you. We just thank you that we can call on you, that we can ask you whatever we will according to your will and your plan, and you will answer us, O God. And so, Father, I thank you for hearing. Thank you for answering. And, Lord, you know Mother Newsom has been on her bed for quite some time, for months, her sick bed. So we pray, Father God, for the healing of her immune system. We pray that you would touch her body from the top of her head to the soles of her feet. We pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus, for your ministering angels all around her, your healing virtue through her body. And we pray, Lord God, for Mother Hawkins, as well as she's a senior citizen, Lord God. Touch her body, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Heal her body, Lord. Keep her healthy and well. And, Lord, I pray for Pastor Donna Hawkins, who is the pastor at Macedonia Missionary Baptist Church in Paducah, Kentucky. I pray, Lord God, that you will continually walk with her daily, talk with her, be that direction, give her guidance, give her strength. And, Lord, you heard the things that she said that she has to do in the next few days, and then she will rest on Monday. So we thank you, Lord God. And we thank you, Lord, as she traveled back to Paducah, Kentucky, that you will keep them safe, protected, hidden under the shadow of your almighty wings. We bind up incidents, accidents, and mishaps. So we bless you, Lord, and we thank you, Lord. We honor you today because you are a King of glory. You are great and mighty. We lift up Pastor Donna Hawkins' entire family, her husband, Henderson Hawkins, the entire family. Oh, God, we just thank you for drawing them closer to you, closer with each other. And we just thank you for the love that you have for the families of God. In this name, amen.
Amen. Amen. When I think of his mercy and goodness and all that he's done for me, then my heart cries out, hallelujah. I thank God for saving me. That song came in my heart, boo. Person and the family that I'm praying for or with, And I thank God. I thank God for the scripture of the Jehoshaphat when he was so frightened and afraid of the enemy that was coming upon them, and he cried out to God and reminded him, "Dear Father in heaven, you know, you have saved us before." He started naming out all the nations that came against him, and he intervened. And he was thinking that, okay, this time I don't see you, I don't feel you, I don't hear you. What are you doing? And a true and mighty God said to him, "Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord with you." So I say to the family that I'm speaking to, stand still and see the Holy Spirit with you, the salvation of the Lord with you. And then he told him, call out your breath, your best praises. And when they began to sing, "Your mercy endure forever," the word of God say, the enemy turned on each other. So I'm saying to this family, know that God is with you. Even though you might not feel it right now, he's telling you, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord with you. Now you get up and start praising God and thanking him that he has you touching and agreeing with people all over the world. And I say thank you. Praise the Lord in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. This is Pastor Brown from Jacksonville. We're going to pray for Mother Irma, but not only for Mother Irma this morning, but for everybody else that's got a friend, that's got a family member, that's got somebody that they know that needs the healing power of God, for he is our Jehovah Rapha. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Lord, that healeth thee. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Amen.
Lord, we love you. Praise you. Lord, we magnify your name, O God. You are our Jehovah Rapha, Lord God. For you are the Lord that heals you. Lord, we ask right now in the name of Jesus that you look down upon all the sin-sick souls this morning, Lord God. Look down upon every person, Lord God, that's in the sound of my voice, O God, and especially for Mother Irma this morning. Lord, we know that you are our healer, Lord God. You are our deliverer, Lord God. Lord, you've got all power in your hands, and you can do anything but fail. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. God, everything belongs to you, and you are our most mighty God. Lord God, we ask that you look down upon Mother Irma and everybody else, God, and send forth your healing power right now. From the top of her head, to the sole of her feet, O God, Lord God, every cell, every organism, Lord God, every atom, every molecule in her body right now, God, we pronounce a healing upon it right now in the name of Jesus. Lord God, we know that you can do anything but fail. Hallelujah, God. Lord, you are our God, and there's none like you, Lord God. Lord, heal your people today, Lord God. Let them know the healing power of the Almighty God. Let them know that you rule and you reign, O God. And Lord God, you still work miracles today, Lord God. Healing virtue is moving right now through the prayer line right now, God. Healing, Lord God, for everybody that need a healing today, Lord God. Some people need a healing in their bodies, Lord God. Some people need a healing in their finances, O God. Some people need a healing, Lord God, in their family relationships, O God. Lord God, right now, God, we ask that you look down today, Lord God. Look down on those individuals, Lord God, that need a healing from drug addiction, Lord God. A healing, Lord God, from promiscuity, Lord God. A healing, Lord God, from every sin-sick thing right now, God. We ask him that you move in a mighty way, Lord God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Let us feel your healing virtue today, Lord God. Let us feel your power in your presence today, Lord God. Lord God, work miracles in our lives today, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, we are considering it done, O God, for you've said in your word, wherever two or three come together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. I say unto thee, if two of you shall agree on touching anything, it shall be done to my Father which is in heaven. Right now, God, healing virtue is moving right now, God. Everybody that's on this line right now, they're feeling your power, Lord God. They're feeling your presence, Lord God. We speak it right now in the name of Jesus. For one shall put 1,000 to flight, two shall put 10,000 to flight, but a three-fold cord is not easily broken. It is done. It is done. It is done. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah.
Glory, God. Hallelujah. Glory. Glory, glory. Amen.
Amen, amen. Well, I heard your wife's background interceding while you were praying. I thank God for her. And I wanted to ask if she would like to, would she pray for Karen's niece for salvation?
Mm-hmm. Now think of his goodness and mercy.
Minister Brown, could you hear me?
And all he's done for me.
Hallelujah. Oh, God, we just come boldly before your throne of grace, Lord God. We lift up Minister Karen's niece, Lord God. We speak salvation into her life, God. Father God, you said it, Lord God, where two or more are joined together, that you are in the midst, Lord God. Lord God, we come humbly before you, laying her heart there, Lord God, that seeds have been sown for salvation in her life, Lord God.
Amen.
You will speak her heart, that her heart will be pricked, Lord God, that she will repent, Lord God, and turn back to you, Lord God. Not just turn back, but run back to you, Lord Jesus, so that she can hear your voice, God, and she can fall on her face of salvation, God, giving you all the glory and all the honor, God. We seek those who have planted seeds unto her life, God, that you begin to water it, God. That she begin to hear your voice, God, and begin to come back to you like never before, God. We speak salvation in her life, God, that she would turn forth to you with a repentant heart, God, giving you her life, God, surrendering all, God. I thank you, God, because you spoke that in my spirit, God. You spoke it even in a prayer, even on the line today, that she must surrender it all, God. And we speak that if she has surrendered it all to you, that if she surrendered it all, God, she will walk in salvation, God.
Yeah.
And we will give you all the glory, and God, Minister Karen will rejoice, God, seeing the salvation of the Lord upon her knees, God. And we thank you, God, and we give you all the glory and the honor in Jesus' precious name.
Glory.
Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen, amen, amen.
Thank you, God. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Jesus. Heaven and earth will rejoice. Hallelujah. Thank you, God.
Thank you, God.
Thank you,
Jesus. Well, hallelujah. Everlasting Father.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, thank you.
Minister Starlings, could you pray for Miss Ludell's the youngest one on here. She's 95, but she's asking prayer for her sister-in-law, who's up in age as well, and she's been in the hospital for 2 months. If you could pray for her sister-in-law and for Miss Ludell, Minister Starlings, I appreciate it.
Thank you. Yeah, you. This is such a wonderful, wonderful day that God has made and given us a chance with grace and mercy to extend it so we can still reach out and touch others. Isn't that wonderful? That we can just reach out and teach others. And when he said, speak it, that means that it's out there and somebody is hearing it. So this morning, the person that God has put in my heart and in my mind and in my soul this morning that's in the hospital, how old is she?
Miss Ludell,
how old is she?
I'm asking her. Miss Ludell.
She's 90.
Okay.
Well, my mother on the 7th of September was 99. In her right mind, going to the senior citizen 3 days a week. So I know that God is able. So this morning, to all of the seniors, including myself, expected this when they're 90, what you say, 90 years old, I say thank you, Father, that you have us here to speak in the lives of the future generation.
Yes.
Father, as she is in need, let her see herself as a need to speak into the nurses' lives and the doctors' lives, the attendants' lives that come to her room. Let her be the blessing to them. Let her be able to share in her right mind the goodness and the mercy of God. I say thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Well, hallelujah. Amen. We appreciate each one of you for coming on Bible Storyland this morning.
Amen.
It is closing time. We thank the Lord for what he's done through each one of you. We bless the Lord for you. We thank God that he's an awesome and a faithful Father. And there's no God like Jehovah. No God like Jehovah. No God like Jehovah. So as we close out, we look forward to hearing from you all next Saturday. It will be Joyful Praise Day. And we thank the Lord for what he's going to do and what he's done already. Hallelujah. Yeah. God loves each of you. I love you, but you know he loves you more.
Amen.
Oh, yeah,
Amen.
God loves you. Even if you think, well, I did this, I did that, God still loves you.
Amen.
He chases those whom he loved, but he loves us. Yes, his love is unshakable. He's the eternal God. He always loves us. He's always doing things for our good. What the enemy means for our harm, God turns it around for our good. And so I just thank the Lord for you all today. May the Lord bless you. May you have a God-filled day, a God-filled week, a God-filled month. And don't forget to bless the Lord. Praise him. Let the Lord's blessings be in your mouth. Continually bless him. Continually bless him. Don't stop. You walk around the house, say, thank you, Jesus. When you go in your car, say, praise your Lord. Oh, give him
praise
thanks. Give him praise. Honor due to his holy name. So I look forward. I love you. Talk to you all next week. Have a great day.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I thank God for saving me. I know all of you know that I don't have a singing voice, but it's okay. I'm a happy Christian. Amen. Happy, 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 happy. Amen. Amen.